Our last presentation is on developing workforce capacity for disparity research, the Health Equity Leadership Institute. We had two co-presenters, Brenda Gonzalez, Career Development Coordinator, providing leadership to the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health Annual Health Equity Leadership Institute to increase the number of investigators engaged in health equity research. And the other co-presenter is James Butler III, he was an assistant professor of behavioral and community health in the School of Public Health at the University of Maryland, College Park. Dr. Butler is also an associate director in the University of Maryland Center for Health Equity.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, we're the last one, so we're going to bring it on home. This morning, I have the privilege of co-presenting with Brenda Gonzalez, my colleague from the University of Wisconsin, and we're going to do a tag team approach to our final presentation of the morning. We're going to look at developing workforce capacity for health disparities research. So neither she nor I have any relationships to disclose, and our learning objectives for this morning are to identify the needs of developing. We like to call ourselves developing investigators as opposed to junior investigators. Identify the needs of those developing investigators for successful career development and advancement. Number two, articulate recommendations for improved institutional response to the identified needs of minority investigators to increase the likelihood of their promotion and tenure. So today's topics, just four bullet points we'd like to address while we're before you. Building and supporting health equity research workforce, career development needs for promotion and tenure. We want to talk about a strategy to address the needs known as the Health Equity Leadership Institute, or HELI, and what can your institutions do to support you? What areas are needed for your institutions to support you for promotion and tenure? So at the forefront of the movement, Dr. John Ruffin has encouraged us to be at the vanguard, the forefront of this movement for building and supporting a health equity research workforce. And he says that we can no longer be victims of inaction. Our role as scientists is to provide the knowledge and perspectives for effective practice and policies. We have a moral obligation in our society to do what is necessary to improve health, and the health disparities research community should be in the vanguard of that movement. So those of us who are interested in eliminating health disparities to achieve health equity by taking action, that's the clarion call for each one of us, that we should be at the forefront of this movement of eliminating health disparities, improving health, which are Healthy People 20, one of the Healthy People 2020 objectives. So what can the institutional do that matters? Well, we know that there are several studies that have documented this powerful association between our postdoctoral research training fellowships and our subsequent research productivity in academic medicine. The literature on recruitment and retention of minority faculty makes a strong case for mentoring and post-hiring support. In other words, it's time to move away from just hiring a minority investigator and allowing him or her to be like that raisin or grape on the vine and just wither away. No support, nothing there to help them, and the lack of understanding what it is to be a minority investigator. And I'm going to broaden the definition of minority investigator while I'm up here and to include not only those of us who are from racial and ethnic minority backgrounds, but those of us who are from a different age category, a different sex, a different sexual orientation, that we've got to move away from just hiring people to say we have the token that we've hired and allowing him or her to wither on the vine like the grape and turn into a raisin. So Smith in 2000 states that the isolation, disinterest in diversity, and racism that new minority faculty may suffer make getting tenure a very challenging task. I don't think I need to add any more to what Smith said. Phillips 2 years later suggests that institutions offer mentoring programs. And back at my home institution in the University of Maryland, we've instituted what we call a team mentoring process, where we're partnered with a senior researcher and someone who is perhaps on our level, and where we get the mentoring from different angles, which helps shape our perspective, supports us, and helps us to be successful in our research endeavors. Fisher and Zygmunt in 1998 asserted that universities must offer these individual strategies for coping with the present demands of scientific life if we are to increase their participation in all fields of research. For example, back to mentoring, we have to have someone where we could just say, we're interested and we're doing health disparities research. We're interested in moving towards achieving health equity, but I just need to learn how to balance my work-life status. How do I balance being a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a partner, whatever it is, with also being someone who's committed to the research agenda? So the literature matters, and you're probably very familiar with this. African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans as a group account for almost 25% of the U.S. population. However, we only make up about 9% of the nurses, 6% of physicians, and about 5% of dentists. So the underrepresentation of minority health professionals is also reflected in faculty profiles of the schools of the health sciences. So the barriers that we encounter, and we have the word junior up there, but as I said earlier, it's developing faculty, it really matters. And I'm just going to take you through 5 bullet points that come directly from the literature. Some of the barriers as minority developing faculty or as minority faculty we face. One is experiencing bias and racial discrimination. Feelings of loneliness and isolation. Once again, just put them in their office, they'll do something, and after a while they'll get so discouraged, they'll just resign and go somewhere else, or just say, I'll go work at that place with the golden arches and flip burgers. Difficulty in obtaining research funding. As we know, particularly in the economy in which we're presently residing, it's a challenge getting research funding. So what are some of the bridge funds that our institutions can provide for us to make sure that we will have funding to continue to do the good science that I personally believe we've been called to do? We're treated as ethnic specialists. Well, don't all black people do this? Don't all gays and lesbians do that? Don't all Native Americans do the other? No, I've not been called to be the spokesperson for my entire group. I'm an individual who self-identifies as an African-American man, and I can speak from that vantage point. So they're treated as ethnic specialists by their colleagues rather than experts in your chosen field. If it's you're a behavioral scientist or a natural scientist, you're an anthropologist, you're a physician, you're a nurse, you're an expert in that chosen field, and I would argue and say that we have to demand that we're treated as such. Feeling that their white colleagues devalue the quality of their scholarship. Well, I really don't understand that community-based research that you're doing in the ethnic and racial minority populations. I just don't get that. Why aren't you just doing a survey and just sending it out over the internet, which is not a bad thing to do, but I believe that we've been called to engage the community in our research and move the research agenda forward. So now my colleague Brenda is going to talk about a strategy to address health equity, and that is the Health Equity Leadership Institute.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Butler, and thank you. I'm honored to be part of this panel and also to have colleagues here with me that are part of this endeavor. So in response to the low number of health equity health disparities investigators, the lack of support needed for a successful career, but more importantly, knowing the challenges experienced of racial discrimination, loneliness and isolation, and lack of guidance in career advancement, a mechanism has been designed to build a training pipeline program to help address the barriers and to create a safe space to provide the support needed. For the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about the Health Leadership Institute, known as HELI, who is part of it, the highlights of the content areas, and a few lessons learned. The Health, Equity Leadership Institute is a week-long immersion program focused on increasing the number of investigators, particularly minority investigators, engaged in health equity, health disparities research, who are competing for tenure track positions and are interested in achieving independent funding through the National Institutes of Health and other federal agencies. The Healy program reflects the partnership between the Collaborative Center for Health Equity at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and the Maryland Center for Health Equity in the School of Public Health at the University of Maryland College Park. The overarching program objectives as well as scholar learning goals have been developed, identified by the Healy planning team. A copy, actually, of those, the goals and objectives, as well as the mission of Healy, are also at the APHA Essential Learning Center online, so you can find a lot of other materials there. So very proud to present, and I'm sure you see some of these people in the room, the leadership from both Centers of Excellence funded through the NIH National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities from Wisconsin and Maryland not only lead local and national efforts in eliminating racial and ethnic minority health disparities, but are also the core Healy faculty. They set the tone and expectations at the welcoming reception that marks the initial session, what is known now as the Healy Research Boot Camp. The Healy faculty is joined by other presenters, health equity researchers from the University of Wisconsin, and guests from other academic institutions. Also, and this is a highlight, we're joined by the program officer from the NIH that has been an essential part of the success of the Institute, not only because he provides a group presentation on NIH, but also it provides one-on-one consults for Healy scholars interested and prepared with research grant proposal in development. So who attends Healy? The Healy scholars are selected from the national pool of applicants that not only represent a racial and ethnic diversity, as you can see here in our graphic, but also come from different disciplines, such as public health, medicine, and another behavioral health sciences. Since 2010, 73 scholars have successfully completed Healy. We have made intentional decisions on the size of the cohorts that ranges from 22 to 26 scholars each in order to really tend to the individual needs, but also it is done in response to the feedback that we have already received by the scholars that emphasize the importance of the small group setting that allows faculty and scholars to create the learning community and the intimacy needed. We are deliberate in providing space to support and advance the career for our University of Wisconsin Health Equity scholars, but we have also have an extensive outreach plan to bring national and international scholars in an effort to recognize UW-Madison as a campus committed to creating a research climate conducive to interdisciplinary research on health disparities and health equity. And interestingly enough, if you know of any med interested in health equity, health disparities, Healy has a significant underrepresentation of males of race, of any race and ethnicity. So just wanted to throw that out there. We do have save the date for Healy 2013. So what is in the program? The Healy program is carefully structured to include both large and small group sessions, one-on-one interactions, and evening events to bring stakeholders from campus for a large networking experience, as well as more targeted mentoring opportunities. Healy scholars are required to attend the 5 full days, about 50 hours of programming, and the scholars receive a directory in advance with a short presentation introduction of each other that helps with the introductions in the opening session. Then the scholars have the opportunity to introduce themselves in 10 minutes or less to talk about who they are, what they do, why health equity matters, and what they need. This is an intense exercise that creates a unique bond, not only that puts in context their work, but also they can talk about the approaches that they use to address their needs and also the strategies for survival. We also depend a great deal on our community partners serving as Healy faculty. We recognize the importance of our community partners. Also, in the last session, Healy scholars and faculty get together, and is the last session where they provide feedback of the entire experience. They are interested in staying connected, so we have developed a Healy blog that you can access at healyuw@wordpress.com. Just a little bit of on how we have a mixed methods approach. We provide feedback cards that are available each day of the program, an electronic survey, and also we have been collecting data from scholars 1 year and 2 years post-Healy to assess whether and how the Institute experience have continued to matter to scholar career development. And to have a little additional information, the scholar endorsement has been the greatest validation of the work that goes into creating Healy. The annual evaluations are not only very positive, but also will inform the planning for Healy 2013.
Not yet. We have a few more slides. That's okay. Thank you. 1 minute? Okay, we'll bring it on in. So how can you support this workforce? I'm sorry. Healy-like components you can potentially use. For example, coordinating a mock study section, opportunities at your institutions where your grants will go through an internal review before they're submitted, training for the mentors to be less of a tour mentor, but engaged mentor in your invested in your process and progress. Video captured sessions online are available, and understanding and advancing of NIH resources. So, to go back to what Brenda was talking about, save the date. The next Health Equity Leadership Institute will be from June 9th to the 14th in 2013, and you can see three photos there of our three cohorts so far from 2010, 2011, and 2012. And before I end, I would like to thank my colleague, Sarah Esmond from the University of Wisconsin, Mary Garza, University of Maryland at College Park, I almost said Pittsburgh, we used to be there, Dr. Craig Fryer from the University of Maryland as well, and our honorary researcher, community member, partner, Sheila Butler, who happens to be my wife, who's in the back. So thank you very much.
Okay, I would like to open the floor for questions. I have a first question for the first two presenters, because I think that it was very interesting. They came here and presented something asking for help for implementation. So what I was left wondering, what is the implementation plan and how you plan to roll out the three tools you have developed? Now you should come here.
So in terms of our plans for implementation, we're working with CDC now to develop that, as well as our working group for the competencies and our planning committee for the toolkit. And Sharon, you can add to this if you care. We want to dovetail with existing opportunities. We don't want to be viewed as one more thing that local public health workers need to get trained on, rather an audience that can be dovetailed into existing health promotion efforts. So we're very mindful of that. We're working more specifically with the Health and Disability Group of NACHO, as well as ASTO, to look at opportunities that they're already doing with states and ways that we can work together, as well as the, I'm going to get their name wrong, it's the directors of DHP, Directors of Health Promotion and Education, to get their buy-in and weave our competencies and the toolkit into trainings that they're already doing.